I'm trying to be the number one pick for the 2020 draft. So started playing since I was three. So it's just my dream, man. And then that's everybody's goal, to be number one pick, play in the NBA.
Tonight, the hopes and dreams of 14 NBA franchises will hinge on a set of bouncing ping pong balls that will decide their fate. The player who many think is the ultimate prize? An 18-year-old kid who has been in the public eye for years, and yet somehow has remained largely unknown. Today, ESPN senior writer Tim Kuen brings us an up-close look at LaMelo Ball and tells us whether the youngest Ball brother can ever live up to the hype that comes with being part of basketball's most famous or infamous family. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Thursday, August 20th. This is ESPN Daily. Tim, thank you so much for joining me, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, I'm glad to be here, Pablo. Thank you.
So I wanted to have you on today because tonight is the NBA draft lottery, when we find out which team, maybe Golden State, maybe Cleveland, maybe Minnesota, gets the number one overall pick. And I have to admit something to you first off. When LaVar Ball went on First Take in June of last year to declare that his youngest son, LaMelo, would be the number one overall pick.
Melo is going to be number one pick 2020.
LaMelo.
He's that good. He's that good. I guarantee you, dude, because he that dude.
He's going number one
that
overall.
That dude, number one.
I laughed. I did not believe him. But LaMelo, the subject of your ESPN cover story out today, is not only in the mix for the top pick now, he is, as you write, the most famous player in the 2020 draft and the most famous mystery in basketball. What did you mean by that?
Well, Pablo, the mystery part kind of gets at what your reaction was when you heard LaVar. The mystery is that this kid has been in our consciousness for so long because of the family, because of LaVar, that the basketball has become sort of a sidebar to who he is. And so I had the same reaction when we talked about assigning this story. I was like, wait, he's really that good? You know, and I don't know that the average American basketball fan has been educated on LaMelo Ball in the last few years. He played the crazy stint in Lithuania. He played in various off-the-grid leagues that nobody's heard of. And then he went to Australia. And then he was like this revelation. Like, oh my gosh, he's putting up triple-doubles. He's fantastic. He's a 6'7 point guard. So the mystery part is that he might be the first American draft pick, high draft pick, who's never played a significant game in his own country. He's never played in college, the NCAA tournament, or he never played at Duke. He never played. We haven't seen him. We just don't know his game. So the mystery is kind of tied up in the fame.
I want to know about LaMelo, the person. Where and when did you meet up with him, and what was he like?
Well, Pablo, I want to know about him too, but I spent a lot of time with him. I spent 5 days in Australia in January, before everything changed in the world, back when we could still travel. And I kind of describe him as Sphinx-like. He's just this really calm, doesn't give much away.
Your game is still a little bit of a mystery to fans in the United States.
Yeah.
What can they expect to see?
You know, I feel like they're just going to have to watch and see for themselves.
And in the story, I kind of describe a conversation with him as sort of being privy to someone's internal monologue, because he just speaks in this stream of consciousness that usually is relevant to the question that's being asked, but not always. And I found him entertaining, and I found myself constantly saying, he's 18, he's 18. It was like this running scroll in my head, you know. He was there with Jermaine Jackson, a former NBA point guard who is now his trainer, manager, mentor, who lived with him down there. And we just kind of hung out. We went to see LaMelo's horse that he bought, and you know, just the horse named LaMelo. LaMelo went to see LaMelo.
I was going to ask, what was the horse's name? But of course, it's LaMelo.
Yes, keeps things simpler that way. So he is very polite. You know, we went to this same cafe three times, and once he pulled the veteran move of like going to the waitress and paying under the guise of going to the bathroom, you know, like paying for the table. And I thought, hey, you know, that's pretty cool for someone 18.
So that veteran savvy with the credit card, I mean, I have friends who will tell you that I learned that move at age 34 and I am 34 years old. So there is a bit of a head of the curve kind of dynamic with LaMelo, but the trajectory, Tim, that you mentioned there is so winding and so crazy. Let's start at the beginning. What was it like, not just for LaMelo, but for his older brothers, Lonzo and LiAngelo as well, to grow up under the tutelage of LaVar Ball?
Basketball, basketball, basketball. That was their life.
Let me see you jump high one hand. There you go. Two hand cut behind the head. This? Yes, hard.
They describe the after school scene at their house as being like a basketball camp every day. LaVar was a personal trainer, so he talked incessantly about having these three sons that he knew were going to be NBA players, and that was the goal from before they were born. LaMelo was the prodigy. There were videos of him dribbling between his legs and behind his back and all that when he was 3 and 4 years old. And, you know, he remembers signing his first autograph at 4 or 5. He became this sort of, you know, in the basketball world, this kind of sensation. And obviously that ramped up when he skipped eighth grade and enrolled in high school so that he could play with his brothers, LiAngelo and Lonzo, at Chino Hills High School as a freshman. They became this, you know, this spectacle. They had, you know, people lined up in the parking lot hours before games to see these guys. And, you know, he was shooting from half court. He was dribbling, you know, breaking people's ankles. He had this flair about him even then that I think has carried with him and has also provided sort of this insulation in his life. You know, he's been so good for so long and he's been part of this world for so long that that's who he is he's this basketball player. And there hasn't been perhaps as much development in other parts of his personality because basketball has been everything.
So you describe like this carnival barker kind of energy flowing through this household, and they deliver on the promise of that advertisement. What does LaMelo score? What was 90 plus at one point in a game, sophomore year?
92,
but who's counting, right? I mean, that's insane. That is insane. Tim, LaMelo has been famous for basically his whole life. He and his family star in the widely viewed, widely shared Facebook reality show Ball in the Family. And they have millions of followers on social media. And LaVar never misses an opportunity to talk about how great his sons are at basketball. So I'm curious about how much of the hype surrounding LaMelo might be a byproduct specifically of this marketing strategy.
Oh, I think it's a big part of it. There's a lot of smoke out there that sort of obscures the central question, which is how good is he? Because everything is glossy and really in a weird way almost corporatized at this point. After being sort of organic to start. As an aside, Pablo, I asked LaMelo about the Ball in the Family Facebook show, and he says he's never watched it. And he goes, well, because it's pretty much what I've lived, so why would I watch it again?
Man. A lot of what we know, Tim, is through the prism of LaVar. And LaVar might be more famous than all of his sons combined. And to your characterization of him, he's always struck me, at least, as this AAU dad who's kind of doing an impression of a WWE wrestler who is also doing an impression of Stephen A.
One-on-one, I'm undefeated. Never lost.
Will you stop it?
Don't apologize on TV.
He's this sort of like media savvy tornado. So what was it like interviewing that guy for this story?
Boy, it is an onslaught, like from the beginning. It's like walking into a blast furnace. I mean, his voice just boom, like right out of bed. He's just loud. He's boastful.
What age could you tell Melo was built for this?
At what age? Before he came out the womb. We put together a plan and been working on it ever since they've been born.
I'm a magazine writer. I'm a journalist. I'm looking for characters like this. You know, like I love those guys that he's going to talk and he's going to say stuff. And he was very welcoming into his home. He took me on a tour of this monstrous palace that he has in Chino Hills. Very proud of his sons. For whatever reason, I asked LeVar just for fun, what would have happened if one of your kids would have said, you know, Dad, forget this basketball. I want to be a veterinarian. And LeVar went into this thing about, you know, well, you could be a veterinarian, but you wouldn't be doing it with me. And I'd be outside, you know, doing dips and pull-ups. And and LaMelo just laughed.
I asked your dad what would have happened if one of his sons had said, Dad, I don't want to play basketball. I want to be a veterinarian. What do you think his response was?
I ain't gonna lie. I think he would have looked you like dead in your eyes and just laughed. For real. Like, get the f*** out of here, son. What you talking about?
LaMelo was, that was one of the moments where I thought, maybe I broke through that facade in a way, because to ask just such a silly question. Their lives have been just so public. It's just, you know, as social media becomes, you know, more of an avenue to fame and fortune, whatever book is written about the history of that kind of fame, I think they're going to be mentioned.
All right, we've talked about LaMelo the person. After the break, I want you to tell me about LaMelo the basketball player.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Tim, when LaMelo was a sophomore in high school, he got his first signature shoe through his family's own sneaker company, Big Baller Brand, which ultimately and famously cost him his college eligibility. So then LaVar takes him to Lithuania, where LaMelo becomes the youngest American to sign a pro contract at just 16 years old, playing against grown men. How did that trip shape him?
Probably not as much as I expected it to. It might be in part due to its brevity. It didn't last very long, so I don't know that it had the impact that it might have.
How many games was it?
He played 8 games. He played 8 games there. And the only thing he really talks with any conviction about was just how damn cold it was. And I find that fascinating and a window into the mind of a 16-year-old. There was all this commotion about him over there, and you know, our Jeff Goodman was in this big scrum all the time with the family.
What do you want to get accomplished while you're here?
Just to get better. Just came here to play basketball, that's it.
And it seemed like the most important thing in the world at the time that this kid was over there playing basketball, and he just was cold. You know, I mean, that's just what he thought. I think it was the first time that he realized that basketball was going to be, you know, do or die in a way. There's really no fallback plan here when you leave high school after your sophomore year. And Dad says, forget the chemistry tests and the term papers. We're just going to go for it. Like basketball or bust, NBA or bust.
As you write in your story, he struggled out there. He averaged 6 points, 2 assists per game. It kind of seemed like the Lithuania experiment didn't necessarily go well, but Then LaMelo decides to head to Australia to play for the Illawarra Hawks, which was an even more competitive and also even more remote level of international basketball. How did Australia work out for him?
Australia made him. I mean, Australia is why we're talking about him. You know, he put up triple doubles down there. He only played 12 games. Again, the body of work is very, very limited. But I think that what Australia did was it opened people's eyes to the fact that he could play in a system.
They need a three ball. Oh, no. LaMelo! Oh!
He had always been unstructured from the time he started in high school. And that is part of his magic, is this unstructured play that he has that allowed things to develop that would not have developed had he been, you know, running Coach Omniscience half-court offense for 3 years. The lack of college is in some ways a plus for him. You know, he grew to 6'7", which is a big factor in this because he is becoming, you know, physically imposing, and that wasn't the case, especially in Lithuania. He was a child. The word everyone uses is vision. In watching him, I almost think it's something different. It's what he doesn't see that makes him really special. He just senses things. And having played so much unstructured basketball, he just has a feel for where people are going to be, where a defender's going to overplay. It almost feels innate. I mean, he told me in one of these sort of interior monologue moments that he just has music playing in his head all the time. Even when he's playing, he's just got, you know, he just tunes everything out, and this stuff just sort of happens in a fluid way that is really unique. And I can see where scouts would be both enamored of his game and also a little bit like, wait, you know, how's this going to translate? Is he going to be able to be this unstructured and this sort of, you know, jazz riff style of play at the next level?
Well, the other question you raise is, do we even have enough to gauge him by? We haven't seen a lot of film. We haven't seen him play against the best competition. So what is your sense of his resume and how warranted all of this hype actually is?
I have to admit I'm a believer. I mean, I've seen him, you know, I've watched a lot of the tape of him. I've talked to the people in Australia. I think he's going to be really good in the right system. And I don't know what that system is or the right coach. I think that I think his game is made in part for what we're seeing in the NBA. And with one sort of caveat is that his shot has to become more consistent. He's got the same issue that his brother Lonzo had, which is very funky shot that can be very effective, but can also, you know, result in a, as in Australia, 25% 3-point shooting percentage. But as far as being a big point guard, he handles the ball like he's 5'10". I mean, he is remarkably tight handle with his dribbling. He gets to the rim. He is a remarkable passer. I think he's going to have some trouble on defense because I think he kind of loses focus sometimes. I do think he has a chance to be like really, really good. And I think that everybody's going to have fun watching it because of that mystery. We don't know. Like, he could be an all-star his first year, or he could really, really struggle and be a bust.
Yeah, and tonight's NBA draft lottery and the NBA draft in October now, I mean, they're going to be so different from what we've seen in years past for so many different reasons. One of them, besides the pandemic, is we didn't have March Madness this year, which plainly means that we are not going to get to meet the one-and-done American college players who typically wind up dotting the first round. So with all of this in mind, Tim, how do you see that bizarre environment and the circus around LaMelo shaping the interest in him at number one overall?
I, in a weird way, think this whole thing helps him because there's not a real body of work that they can point to for many of these guys. There isn't a very big resume when the one and done players played less than a full season. They didn't get to play under the bright lights and show what they do under pressure. So I almost feel like the environment is ripe for somebody to take a flyer, you know, and say, hey, this kid's physical talent, his skills are off the charts. We can teach him to shoot. He's going to get stronger. The uncertainty and the sort of, you know, lack of tape that they have on all these guys might lead to him being, if not number one, at least very high up there.
And I guess the last question is, is the team that drafts LaMelo drafting LeVar too?
Ooh, I think there are a lot of people asking that, and they're asking it openly because they've talked about how, you know, the question is, does your dad come with you? And
right,
it's his dad. Yeah, you know, in some way, his dad is going to be there. And I think that the question they have to answer is whether LaMelo's talent supersedes any concerns they have about the dad's influence. And it feels like the answer to that is that yes, they're going to feel that LaMelo's talent is worth whatever risk LeVar presents.
Well, all of which is to say, I look forward to LeVar and LaMelo and you remaining in our lives in the years to come.
I do too. Thank you, Pablo.
Thanks, Tim. Coming up, you may think you know the story of LeBron and Carmelo and the Banana Boat crew, but after the break, an exclusive investigative report from a first-hand witness.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Here's another story I want you to know. Few phrases in modern sports history are more evocative than the words banana boat. In your mind's eye already, I'm sure you can visualize that iconic paparazzi photograph. The giant yellow inflatable tube, the blue waves of the Bahamas, and the four horsemen riding on top. Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, Chris Paul, and LeBron James. Or, as this brotherhood came to be known, the Banana Boat Crew.
Team Banana Boat.
The Banana Boat Crew.
The whole Banana Boat Crew.
The Banana Boat Crew in the house.
But look again at that photograph from 2015. Like, actually pull it up on your phone and look at it. Because while the Banana Boat is back in the news thanks to LeBron and Melo facing each other in this electric Blazers-Lakers series, there is just one problem, as Gabrielle Union, Wade's better half, just called in to remind me.
Yo, Pablo, what's up? It's Gab Union. Yeah, all this talk about the Banana Boat crew, and Mel wasn't even on the boat. It was me. I was on the boat. So I don't know. I don't know how everyone's got it jacked up, but I'm not here for it. I'm not here for it.
And I get where Gab is coming from. The Banana Boat became the NBA's foremost symbol of player empowerment. But it was actually her idea in the first place. Union, an accomplished actress and producer and author who knows how this gender stuff works, got erased, while Melo got completely photoshopped in. Now, sources close to the Banana Boat crew tell me that there is some dispute over whether Mello opted off the boat because he spied the paparazzi and knew where this whole thing was headed, or whether he and his wife joined them in the Bahamas days later after the whole episode occurred. But I think it's safe to actually, hold on. I'm getting another message from Gabrielle.
Now, the real tea, the real story of the Brotherhood, way beyond a banana boat. So we're all snorkeling in the Bahamas. You know, we're all going underneath this little cave thing. And Mel starts kind of getting swept out to sea, like way beyond where the rest of us were. And clearly needed some help. And we all get back to the boat and we realize that Mel's not with us. And Bron is like, points, sees Mel in the distance. Mel, I'm coming. Dives into the ocean like Aquaman and goes and gets him and saves him, and brings him back.
Now, by all accounts, Melo's included, this really did happen. LeBron really did save Carmelo's life. LeBron basically should be known as NBA Aquaman, with all due respect to Steven Adams. We just don't have photographic proof that it happened like that. Not that that's ever stopped us before. I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.